Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's like in the arts world, he's phenomenal. And he's, I think, a Southern guy from Louisiana or something like that, or Alabama, or pick a Southern state. But he's a trained, like, opera type singer, and he raps just as easily.
Wow.
Yeah. This guy.
Real Renaissance man, not unlike yourself.
Kicking is like low on the list of things this guy does really well.
It's so easy for him.
Oh, gosh.
Next.
Some guys have it all, right? Some guys have it all. Well, that is a good one. Kari Vedvik now with the JETS Jets, Jets, Jets. Good luck to you, Kari. And bad luck to you, Minnesota Vikings, for giving up a fifth and not even keeping the guy. What kind of swindle job was that, huh?
I am not real high on the Jets. I've tried to be. I love Le'Veon Bell. I love watching him play. And they got Adam Gase. But I think their offensive line is bad. I think the manner in which Adam Gase became the head coach was not pleasant to behold from afar. And I think there's still a lot of dysfunction there. And I want to like the Jets, and I want to give them a chance to unseat the Patriots. But to be honest, I'm not seeing it.
You're not seeing the Jets
no.
This year.
Adam Gase, I think there's a good chance that he will not be a great coach for Sam Darnold, because Sam Darnold last year with the Jets, when he had some success, he was taking some deep shots. Because I like my quarterback to take some deep shots. Adam Gase has been more of a dink and dunk guy. Why do you think Ryan Tannehill has pretty good numbers playing for Adam Gase? Because as 3rd and 17, it's over the middle for 8 yards, and they're going to punt, but hey, there's a nice 8-yard completion.
That is hilarious.
So that's something I'll be watching closely.
How many teams, like, no matter who you're a fan of, how many of us have said that about our team? Nobody on 3rd and 9 gets 7 or 8 yards better than my guy does.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler got 7 or 8 yards on a 3rd and 9 better than any quarterback in the National Football
League. I think Niner fans remember all too well the glory days of Blaine Gabbert. I mean, he was a master of that, right? And he didn't have the greatest arm strength, so in some cases, like, that's all I can do. But still,
play to your strengths.
Look at his numbers. Wow, he had a pretty good game. Did he?
Play to your strengths. That's what you do. Put your guy in a position to utilize his strengths in the best possible way. You're not an Adam Gase guy? I'll tell you, he certainly has, you know, from being the offensive coordinator that a lot of people like. In fact, he was the Niners' choice, right? He was the Niners' choice when they went with Tom Sula.
Because
he was at Denver.
They were not his choice.
Well, is that what would be? I think they gave him certain confining things that he had to go by. They wanted him to be the head coach, but Trent Baalke wanted to be able to name or do certain things for him. And Gase said no. Eventually went to the Bears to be their offensive coordinator. From there, ended up going down to
The Dolphins actually made the playoffs 1 year.
Yeah, so he went down there. Then Tannehill gets injured in preseason. They try to get Cutler to come back and play. That goes sideways. He ends up losing the job, immediately lands with the Jets.
Yeah, and Peyton Manning had a lot to do with him getting the job with the Jets. Put in the good word for him.
Peyton Manning, of all people.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Think Peyton Manning's going to go back, eventually get back into football and run a franchise?
No. He's having too much fun making too much money without the demands and the pressure.
He is, we talk about talented human beings. He is among the most talented human beings on the planet, too. His comedy timing is great.
What if we had a bracket and he's up against Justin Tucker?
That's a tough call. That's a tough call for me. I mean, Peyton Manning, what he did on Saturday Night Live was hilarious.
Yeah, the United Way commercial, whatever it was.
But
come on, catch the ball.
All this stuff, and I've only seen clips of this 100 moments that they're doing on ESPN Plus. He's really good.
Yeah, he is.
He's engaging.
He's comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Adam Gase, if I may ask you a question, Adam Gase, you know, we know about his media conference with the googly eyes. Adam Gase smelling salts pregame on the sideline. You a fan or not?
Pro.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I'm pro. I am pro. I am pro that more than I am not hat, but they wear the
visor.
I hate visor guy. I like smelling salts guy.
Okay.
I'm pro smelling salts.
And I was talking to somebody about that, and they said, well, what does he need to get fired up for the game? And no, apparently it's there's a belief that smelling salt, oh, depending on what's in the particular smelling salts, they help you think more clearly.
Yeah. Okay. We had some psychedelic drugs here in the 60s in San Francisco that made you do the same thing. Easy, they're killer. But I like the smelling salts. Have you ever cracked them open and smelled them?
Have not.
That is wicked, man. You only have to do it once. Some guys. But
is it worse than wasabi when you inhale wasabi?
Now we're getting there. You're kind of down the same road.
Okay.
That stuff is some solid stuff, though.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Are you? You know what I want to get into in a second? We've been doing a lot of football today. And we will always break down the football news as it continues here.
The big news, Deshaun Kizer, a Raider, yes.
We could take your calls at 888-957-9570. I want to talk about the Giants from last night. I know they lost the game to the Padres. And the Giants are doing all this churn to get some good young guys. They made a deal sending Drew Pomeranz to the Brewers, and they were able to get Mauricio Dubon, who played shortstop for the first time last night.
Good fielder, huh?
Made a couple of plays that were eye poppers. Had a couple of hits. Nice little night for my man Mauricio. And is this the look? Is this, although he hit into the double play, bases loaded, hit into the double play to end the inning. Is this the start of we're going to see some guys who you can say, all right, they're going to be here for a little bit? Or is he just part of the churn that Farhan Zaidi has been able to accomplish in his first year with the San Francisco Giants to make them relevant to a point where now they're, I think they're 300-500 right now, but they stayed in a playoff discussion into August, not to the end of August. Now, you know, now that you're moving near the end of August, you're starting to say, all right, they're
fluke or not, that July was very impressive. And to a degree, it saved their season.
Absolutely.
Kept them relevant.
There was a buzz back at Third and King. People were watching the games. People were wearing the gear. People knew who was pitching the next night. People had their eye on the standings. You didn't have any false thought that I was going to catch the Dodgers, but you did have a hope that you could stay in the race. And instead of going from complete and utter sellers, getting rid of Madison Bumgarner, getting rid of Will Smith, you decided to add just a little Scooter Gennett and maybe make a little run towards the playoffs. Didn't happen, but you, for a slice, you gave your fans a little bit of hope. And I think that's a success story. We'll talk a little bit more about that and some of the things that play off that as well, including the Madison Bumgarner piece, which it's starting to fly a little under the radar. But as he continues to perform better and better, does the market open up more for him? Or are teams going to do to him what teams did to Dallas Keuchel and to Craig Kimbrell? Is it going to be Madison Bumgarner next year after the All-Star game, where he ends up signing with somebody and pitching? That's going to be the big... You think about that.
Could he end up staying?
Are you throwing that into the equation? Well, we'll get into that because we'll put up the... I got the list of what pitchers are making, and you tell me where Madison Bumgarner fits in. That's all coming up here as we got a busy, busy day tomorrow. Labor Day giveaway day at 95.7 The Game, giving away 30... we're giving away prizes 30 minutes after every hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we've got everything from tickets to the Chase Center to see The Who, Dave Matthews, Santana, much more than that. Labor Day giveaway, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., 95.7 The Game. I'm starting it at 6 o'clock in the morning with Nice Guy Steven. Whitey is finishing it up from 2 to 6 p.m. with Ryan Covey. So we got full-blown team coverage for you on our
big, 95, big, big, big day.
Big, 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 big day on 95.7 The Game, our Labor Day giveaway. We'd love to hear from you, 888-957-9570, or you can get us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Jerry Lewis Labor Day Telethon Day, even though I believe Jerry Lewis is no longer with us. But don't you have to still attach his name to it, don't you?
Yes.
It's his thing. He was one of the most talented people of all time, too.
Okay, Justin Tucker, Peyton Manning, yep. Jerry Lewis.
Yep, exactly.
Who gets the nod?
It's a tough call. I'll tell you when we continue on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
one of the greatest compilations ever, right? This is a combination of Freddie Mercury and David Bowie.
Sampling going on there,
huh? Is that what this is? Yeah. I'm a huge Bowie guy. And how can you not like Queen? Outstanding. It's just my hot take.
Bohemian Rhapsody. What'd you give it? How many coses?
You know, did it or did it not make its resurgence because of one Mike Myers?
Queen did, yeah. But I mean, I'm sorry, I meant the movie. I wasn't clear.
Oh,
the movie,
I apologize.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous movie. I thought it was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good, especially the scene where they play Live Aid, that I went back and watched the real Live Aid.
It was almost identical.
The way they shot it, it's almost worth just seeing that. I get it. Tragic life. Horrible story because you lose such brilliance. I love hearing how they came together. I hope that story is true, how they came together. He used to go watch this band play. They were about ready to quit. The one guy's going to be a rocket scientist. And then he just starts belting out tunes as they're sitting in the back of their car drinking beers. That's an awesome story.
Yes.
I hope it's true. But to see that Live Aid performance, to see them the way they shot it, the way he walks up the stairs and the lights are hitting him and all, it kind of gives you chills, right? And then it made me go back and watch it because I happened to be in London at the time of Live Aid.
But you weren't at Live Aid.
I could have gone.
But you did it.
I did it. Because I'm like, what do I want to go with a bunch of dirty hippies? I don't want to go hang out with a bunch of dirty hippies. It was an awesome movie. I thought it was did you like it?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought they kind of glossed over some of the things that I think they would have been better served really getting into some of that truth of what went on, but you know,
oh, really?
The band is still pretty protective.
They didn't talk about the truth of what went on?
Well, I thought they could have gotten into more about what Freddie Mercury really dealt with, what he was really going through, what he really felt.
I thought they did that, didn't they?
Some had criticized.
Because there was tragedy.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's coming to terms with his sexuality. It was tragedy.
Yeah.
He coming to terms with coming from nothing to having such opulence, and then the horrible disease that he ends up having. I mean... You know, don't want to spoiler alert anybody on this thing, but I thought they dealt with it. So is there, the criticism is they didn't deal with it?
I think some criticize that film for not dealing with it a little more directly, but you're right. Obviously, they did address it. And the band is still protective of some of those things.
Also, and he was their friend. They don't.
Exactly.
They're not going to sell everything out. I think they did a pretty darn good job of showing how people took from him and he allowed himself to become overcome with his brilliance, right?
That was Live Aid was Wembley, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you a big fan of the NFL games in London, the London games?
I love them. I love it. I absolutely love it. And this year, you know, they're not in Wembley this year. The first one's in Tottenham. The Tottenham, the football club, the Hotspur.
They're a football club.
They are a football club. And Tottenham Hotspur, who played today against Arsenal, last I saw it was 2-2. I don't know what ended up happening in that game. Tottenham's stadium was built, I think, from the old London Olympic Stadium when London had the games in 2012, 16. How come I'm losing track? It doesn't matter. They made their football stadium out of that, but they made it 2012 London. Shout out Boris Johnson, mayor of London at the time. Got caught on a zip line. If you recall, that was one of the great moments of the thing.
Can't do it.
No, you can't. So they made their stadium not just for their version of football, but they made it with the dimensions that it would fit NFL standards. And they actually worked with the National Football League to reconstruct it so that it would work for NFL games.
Which they didn't do at Winnipeg, the stadium where the Packers and the Raiders played the preseason game?
Don't get down on my Blue Bombers, okay? Don't start trashing my Blue Bombers because I will come over the table at you.
All right.
I just want you to know. The Raiders were okay with it. It was their wuss bag opponents who decided they wouldn't want to play on that field and then thusly had to bastardize the game. Excuse me, I apologize for having to get so salty. But that upsets me so much that the Raiders were good with it. They were ready to play. The Raiders are a team I can get behind. The Packers? Pshaw is what I say to you. Pshaw.
I think the Raiders may win more games than the Packers.
Do you?
This year. Yeah. I'm not high on the Packers, and I could be dead wrong. I'm just Matt LaFleur, a lot of the way he's been dealing with the Aaron Rodgers so far and the fact that they had this power struggle, I don't like the way he's dealing with it. By the way, speaking of games across the various ponds, you know, the 49ers could be playing the opening the 2020 season in China. Give me that again. The 49ers, according to Matt Barrows, and this was in March, so perhaps I should update this, but NFL owners discussing
the
possibility of playing in either Beijing or Shanghai next season.
Oh, my God, that would be phenomenal.
Initial thought, 49ers playing their 2020 opener overseas.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Give me the opportunity to double-check that. But, yeah, some have suggested that's one reason why the 49ers didn't have to worry about Hard Knocks. And we're going to go play in China next year. All right, you guys, you're good.
I would love for that to happen. I'm wondering what type of stadia they have to house something like that. You'd think the Beijing Olympic Stadium from 2008 would be able to house something. The Bird's Nest, if you recall, it was an iconic building. But again, you've got a lot of problems in Beijing with air quality. And you'll wonder what the National Football League would do in
picking a place to play. Plus, there are other issues, a lot of other issues right now, obviously, when it comes to considering sending an NFL team to play in China. Many, many others.
Many, many others. Wow, playing in China. And regular season or just a game?
Again, this was the one and only Matt Barrows who wrote in March, NFL owners discussing possibility of playing Beijing, Shanghai. Initial thought, 49ers playing their 2020 opener.
Wow.
Overseas.
You got to Google it.
I got to tell you, I don't know if I'd be. But by the way, Russell Baxter is going to join us in a couple of minutes. He's the football guru, pro football guru, and he's the founder of ProFootballGuru.com. He's had stints with ESPN, CBS, and NFL Network. So we're going to get to him and talk a little NFL in just a second. I'm not sure I would be up. Well, you open the season, which means you would have to, finish the preseason there? You'd have to make your cuts. And now, let's say for instance, they're opening in China. Would they have, and we're a year from now, you made your cuts on Saturday? Are you getting on a plane Saturday night and you're flying?
Well, it's a great point because the plan, such as it is, at least originally, would have that game be similar in some ways to, remember the A's opening against the Mariners in Japan, and then they came back and didn't play for a while?
Yeah.
So you're looking at that type of scenario.
And had unusual two-game series throughout the year. And,
right.
And what was odd, because both the Giants and the A's had this, an odd Friday night off in the course of the season threw me off. As a fan, it just threw my game off.
I can't even talk about it.
I didn't sleep.
Forgive me for looking away, but yeah,
I needed a Friday night game. You know what? You don't play an occasional Thursday. It's in my DNA. I get it. But you miss a Friday?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's just wrong. Something's wrong.
I can't make heads or tails. Trump's America. You know it. It's Trump's America. Okay? That's all I'm saying. 888-957-9570, or you can hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 957-95. The biggest news of the National Football, 24 hours ago, we were talking about Jadeveon Clowney going to Seattle, and that could affect what happens in the NFC West. Next biggest story today, LeSean McCoy getting cut by the Bills, which was yesterday's story. Today's story is he signs with the Kansas City Chiefs.
As you said he would yesterday, you called it.
I'm very
Coase
much.
Coase calls it.
Coase Stradamus. Coase calls it. It's a new segment that we're going to start here on the Whitey and Coase show. Not that we have a show, but we're going to just kind of say we are.
We're on the air.
Yeah, exactly. Together at the same time. But that's the next biggest phase of it. Kansas City, they jumped up and did great things last year, right? No question about it. Had the breakout star of the league in Patrick Mahomes. Are they the team most likely to maybe take a little dip back? Or are they going to keep going in that direction?
They're just too good. They brought in a new coordinator, right? Spagnuolo's a defensive coordinator. They got after the quarterback well last year, but still the defense wasn't very effective. They have to be AFC favorites, or at least co-favorites, right?
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
But my question more is, again, they could, what did they win last year? 12 games? Could it be a 10-win year? Could they still be playoff worthy, yet there's a little bit of a drop? Again, are the weapons all there? I know he's got Travis Kelce, but are all the weapons still there and ready to roll?
Go ahead. 12-4 last year. They win 10 games in their sleep this year.
All right. Well, let's ask a guy who knows better than we do. He's the pro football guru. Russell Baxter joins us here on 95.7 The Game. You can get him at profootballguru.com. You've heard and seen Russell on ESPN, CBS, and the NFL Network. And he joins me, Jim Cozumore, and Whitey Gleason on 95.7 The Game. Russell, are you still trying to piece together what all these rosters are looking like? There was another minor move today as the Raiders add a fourth quarterback, because some teams have one, but the Raiders felt they needed four quarterbacks. Are you still, is your head spinning from all the movement going on?
Well, listen, it's the time of the year where you have a gallon of white out when you're doing your charts and so on. And, you know, here's what you see now in the NFL. There's two trade markets, even though now the last couple of years you have seen even getting near the deadline. Remember, it used to be the trade deadline in the NFL was, you know, a snooze fest, okay? But now we have seen the last couple of years. This is that second wave of trades. And, you know, not unexpected in terms of the volume, because it's really kind of been like this the last couple of years under free agency. It's just a matter of what all these moves are going to mean. You know, look at the Houston Texans and, you know, not so much of what they gave up, but what they brought in. And, you know, you bring in a new left tackle, arguably a starting wide receiver in Kenny Stills. How quick do you implement those into your game plan?
Pro football guru Russell Baxter with us on 95.7 The Game. Follow him on Twitter. That is, let me see, I lost it from one. I'm sorry, at Bax, yeah, at Bax Football Guru, pardon me. pardon me, Russell, I'm sorry. Now, we have seen teams openly tank in the NBA with Philadelphia. We've seen it in baseball. Houston comes to mind. Is what the Dolphins are doing this year, are we seeing a team openly tanking now in the NFL?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I had this discussion probably about an hour ago with my podcast partner, Julie Boyd, and here's what I've always scratched my head about. You're the Miami Dolphins. You've had two winning seasons since they realigned, 2008. Okay, by the way, the year before they were AFC East champions at 11-5, they were 1-15. Okay, and then Adam Gase's first year, they were 10-6. Two playoff appearances, okay, in nearly 20 years. So if they really wanted to tank, why wouldn't they just keep the players they have?
Let me give you a counter to that, because they were able to acquire some assets that will help improve upon their drafting. They can still tank and have theirs, but now they're gaining more assets, draftable assets for the future.
Right. Well, in the case, see, I think all these, I understand your point. All these instances are different depending on how you want to build a football team. Okay. The biggest problem with the Dolphins, who, by the way, Brian Flores, I believe, is their 10th head coach since 2000.
Wow.
Which is nine fewer than Bill Belichick, who got to New England in 2000. Okay? So that's a problem. All right? Think about what the Dolphins have done over, let's just say, the last decade or so. Okay? Do you see them draft well, or do you see them sign big-name contracts and some of them just don't pan out? They have gone for the quick fix, the Band-Aid, for too long. So now they're already looking at next year where, you know, they already have 13 draft choices, you know, including compensatories. Okay. Brian Flores comes in there. Chris Greer is the general manager. In order to fix the Dolphins, you got to change the culture. And that culture is going to have less of a stone crab feel to it and more of a clam chowder feel to it, if you know what I mean.
I like that. I like that. As we continue along the way with the pro football.
Wrong with either. I mean, come on.
I know. Pro football guru Russell Baxter joining us, 95.7 The Game. Russell, 2 years ago it was the Rams who came from a little bit of obscurity and really jumped into the forefront, and everyone watched them, and they were a really good team. Last year the Chicago Bears did the same thing. Which team or two in the NFL has a chance to be this year's version of the Rams or the Bears?
It's funny. We've actually seen four teams in the last 2 years go from last to first. Jacksonville and Philadelphia, and then Houston and Chicago. Remember, Houston was the last place team and then won the division last year. Mm-hmm. And did it starting 0-3, only the sixth time in NFL history that it happened. I'm keeping an eye on Tampa Bay in the NFC South,
Ooh.
Which I know sounds probably risky considering how powerful New Orleans and Atlanta could be. And I think Carolina will be better on defense with Gerald McCoy and Brian Burns and so on. But Bruce Arians is there. And if anybody's going to fix Jameis Winston, it's going to be Bruce Arians. You look at the Bucs roster, honestly, they're not devoid of talent. Okay, they have some issues on the offensive line. There's no question about that. But you look at the players that have been there over the last couple of years, they're not lacking talent. They have shown that they have talent. Remember, they knocked off the Saints in week one at Superdome last year, 48-40. Okay, so they're not a team that's necessary. What they're lacking is discipline in the sense of they can't stop turning over the football. Okay, last year they had two different quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston, combined for 30 of the team's 35 turnovers. They're the most turnovers in the league. They regularly are near the 30s, high 20s, when it comes to coughing up the ball, and Jameis Winston is a big problem with that. So you combine the fact that they brought in Todd Bowles, so you got Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians working together again, as was the case in Arizona. Okay, they go to a 3-4 defense in Tampa Bay. I think they're a very intriguing team. Okay, I don't know if they can make that much noise because the division is so powerful, but I wouldn't put it past. It used to be the NFC South. Nobody could repeat in it. Okay, now the Saints have all of a sudden won back-to-back titles. The Falcons were in the Super Bowl not too long ago. So Tampa Bay intrigues me. Wasn't that long ago, remember, a couple years ago where they made some noise. They won 8 of the last 12 games, finished 9-7, and, you know, right on the Falcons' heels.
Russell, which team wins more games this year, 49ers or Raiders, and how does the Raiders signing of DeShone Kizer factor in there?
Oh, boy. That's tough. What was the old Nick Pakai thing, advantage push? I would probably lean Raiders, okay? I think they will get their act together. I'm just not sold on San Francisco defense, besides the fact that they have a plethora of first-round draft choices on the defensive line. And I know the chances of them going through an entire season with two interceptions, the lowest total in the history of the NFL in a season. They had 7 takeaways, also the lowest total. I mean, I know that's unimaginable, okay? But the Niners, despite their talent up front, don't really intimidate defensively, okay? I look at the Raiders, and I think there's so much Derek Carr and Antonio Brown talk and so on. The guy I'm keeping an eye on is Josh Jacobs. You want to make your defense look better in Oakland? Keep it off the field.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they do decide to run the young guy and maybe add another running back to take some of the load off the young guy as we continue here with Russell Baxter, the pro football guru, joining us on 95.7 The Game. This report coming from WFAA in Dallas from Mike Leslie saying now it's really heating up. I'm told the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott are very close and that they're basically dotting I's and crossing T's on this deal with hopes of having something done either Monday or Tuesday at the latest. If that goes down, how, if at all, could that affect Melvin Gordon, who we are hearing the Chargers have told his representatives can go off and try to find a deal for Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, I don't know how the two intertwine, to be honest with you. I mean, okay. Zeke's situation is totally different from Melvin Gordon's.
Okay.
Gordon obviously was in the last year of that option year of his original deal. Zeke decided to do this with 2 years left on his deal, but obviously the Cowboys know how important he is to them and so on. You know, you look at teams and you look at the running backs, you know, that were made available. I know LeSean McCoy wound up latching on with Andy Reid in Kansas City and so on. The Chargers aren't a team that seems to ever want to cave. It's not like they haven't had some holdout problems in the last couple of years with some of their first-round draft choices as well. And that's a totally different situation. But I think the Chargers proved last year that they're a deep football team. They won games the first half of the season without Joey Bosa, and they won games later in the season without Melvin Gordon. They're going to have to try and prove that without Derwin James for half the season as well. But honestly, I don't think one affects the other. Hopefully they can work things out. I mean, Melvin Gordon scored 38 touchdowns the last 3 years. He's a versatile back. He can catch the football. He makes the Chargers offense better, but they've got some depth. I think the reason that people like the Chargers so much is because of their resiliency.
With the season just days away, we're catching up with the pro football guru, Russell Baxter. And I know 4 days to go until the season starts. So, Russell, on Twitter, you've got a Twitter poll, the best number four in NFL history. How is Nick Mullins faring in that poll?
I think he might have got snuck some votes in the other category, which obviously we always include in another category. It's actually these are fun because think about it. You have one of the most prolific passers in the history of the NFL and Brett Favre, and one of the, obviously a very popular player, but you also got the leading scorer in NFL history in Adam Vinatieri. So, you know, I guess if you like quarterback play, you go Favre, and for kicks, you take Vinatieri.
Who doesn't love a kicker over a quarterback? Who doesn't love stuff like that?
I mean, that guy, you know, he blows by the Energizer Bunny, man. I mean, think about a guy who in 1996 was an undrafted free agent. As a rookie, he was on Bill Parcells' Super Bowl team with the Patriots.
Wow.
And he just goes on and on and on and on.
Good. You know what? Good on him, man. I think that's fantastic.
Yes.
Russell Baxter
Absolutely.
With us, 95.7 The Game. Is there a team you're hot on this year? Is there some team or set of teams that you're just hot on that you think, all right, this is going to be the year for them?
Buffalo, to me, is very interesting because of what they went out and did in 4-5. I know it's a snooze fest for some people, but when I'm in during the off season, I'm looking at how a team fortified itself in the trenches. You know, I would make the case the last 2 years, the Philadelphia Eagles certainly won that Super Bowl that year because of their play on the offensive and defensive lines. And if it really came down to it, think about the Patriots in the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl run last year. Okay. They played power football against the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Rams. They had 150 yards rushing minimum in all three of those games. The MVP of the Super Bowl could have been Dante Scarnecchia, okay, one of the most fabled offensive line coaches in the league. You know, we keep on seeing these prolific offensive numbers being put up by quarterbacks and wide receivers and so on, and they're not – do you think it's a coincidence it's not adding up the championships? I mean, we just had another guy throw 50 touchdown passes. It's happened three times. One guy lost the Super Bowl by 3, one guy lost the Super Bowl by 35, and one guy didn't get to the Super Bowl.
Russell, you mentioned that you think Bruce Arians is going to do a fine job and have a positive impact in Tampa Bay. How about some of the other coaches? How about Adam Gase with the Jets, combustible situation? Is he going to help turn things around there?
I'll be interesting to see the dynamic between him and Greg Williams. Okay. I think he'll do great work with Sam Darnold, and now they have Le'Veon Bell there, although we haven't really seen much of Le'Veon Bell.
He's supposed to be there. I assume he's there, yeah.
There's a rumor that he's there. Let's put it that way. But, you know, I think Adam Gase can, you know, their bigger – you know, it's funny. Sam Darnold, rookie last year, they had some moderate success offensively, okay? But their bigger issues – the last 2 years, guys, have been on defense, okay? You know, long gone are the, you know, the Rex Ryan respectable defenses with that team. They got pushed around far too often last year. Greg Williams, now remember Greg Williams, you know, Greg Williams is one of those spirited guys we've seen around the league. He's had influence with a lot of different teams. He wound up the interim head coach with the Browns last year.
He gets inundated with job offers from other teams. Just ask him.
yes, exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic works out. I will say this about Adam Gase. He just spent 3 years with the Miami Dolphins, so he's got a pretty good working knowledge of the AFC East. And, you know, the last 2 years in Miami, you know, be it by solid play or by a miracle at the end, he did manage to beat the Patriots in Miami 2 years in a row.
My last one for you, Russell, is of these teams, which is the worst in the NFL? Arizona Cardinals, Cincinnati Bengals, Washington Redskins.
You know, my power rankings are coming out in a couple of weeks.
Ooh. I don't want you to ruin your power rankings though.
No. Yeah, I know because, you know, America's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it would be at this moment, okay? At this moment, I think it would be the Cincinnati Bengals, okay? And I'm not saying they're the worst team in the league. What I'm saying is their defense really fell apart last year. And they still have some good players, okay? But when your top two tacklers on your team are your starting safeties, mm-hmm. where the hell is your front seven, okay? Now, they're not going to have A.J. Green at the beginning of the year. We've seen what's happened to them on the offensive line. I mean, they drafted Jonah Williams. He's going to miss the year. They were going to draft him and put Cordy Glenn at guard. So that kind of came undone. Okay. They've had some retirements on the offensive line as well. Andy Dalton's coming off a year where he played 11 games, which is the fewest of his career. I like Joe Mixon a lot. They still have Giovanni Bernard. But I worry, other than Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap, I worry about them on the defensive front seven. And I think, I don't know if it'll end up that way. They got a new head coach, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. So as of right now, between those three teams, I think Cincinnati could get off to a miserable start.
Oh, well, that could be good for the 49ers.
Absolutely.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. Hey, this is good. Russell, thank you very much for all the insights. I want to do this again. You're a lot of fun to talk to. I love your knowledge, but I love your enthusiasm. This is going to be fun. Are you excited for Thursday night? Bears-Packers gets it all started Thursday.
I'm a kid in the stand. Can't be there. Truth be told, I turned 60 years old on Tuesday.
I'd have never guessed
okay?
it. Never guessed it.
And I've been doing this professionally for 35 years. It's not work. Okay?
No.
I know people that work for a living. I've worked for a living. Those of us who do what I do are very blessed. And that might sound corny to some.
Nope.
But that's the reality.
Love it.
You get to sit and watch what other people do and get paid for it.
It's awesome. It's an awesome gig. Thank you for keeping us centered.
Thanks, Russell.
We'll see you, buddy. That's Russell Baxter.
You got it, guys. Enjoy. Talk to you soon.
Yep. He is the Pro Football Guru. You get him at profootballguru.com.
He really is. It's the first time I've talked to him, and he clearly is the Pro Football Guru.
I really like listening to him. I like the whole ethos of one Russell Baxter. I'd like to make it a regular on the Whitey and Coase Weekend Scrub Show.
Well, if you, no risk and no biscuit.
There you go. Is that your deal?
Yeah.
Interesting take there. He thinks the Raiders could put it together and have a better year than the 49ers?
Yeah. It was an interesting response, wasn't it, to my question, which team's going to win more games? Was he saying it's too hard to call or that neither one of them's going to be very good?
Interesting. If you look at the rate, comparing it to what the 49ers, I think, can be 8-4. They can be 8-4 through 12 games. And I'm looking at the Raiders, and I don't think it could compare to the 49ers. Broncos at home, winnable game, right?
By the way, I love their head coach, the Broncos, and I think that losing him is going to leave a mark on your Bears. Lord Fangio is a great coordinator. What kind of head coach is going to be? I don't know. He's a great defensive coordinator.
I agree. Totally agree with you. And he'll probably dip his toes into the Denver defensive mix.
Yes. He already has, sure.
He's got a couple of guys there.
Yeah.
Von Miller, guy named Chubb. I mean, Derek Carr is going to have the head on the switch. You know what?
That was another one of your albums, wasn't it? A guy named Chubb?
Yes, it was. No, that might have been a single, actually, from the album. The issue, you know, it's interesting for the Raiders. We're talking about their offensive line, and is Colton Miller going to be good enough? We're going to find out in week one how good the offensive line is, okay? Because you get that defense coming at you, forget it. Broncos are a tough one on the opener. Kansas City in the second week. Okay, so the best team in the AFC West, I'm going to say the Chiefs are that. And a team that has a new head coach and a new thought and a new feel, that's a little scary. Go to Minnesota. Some people think Minnesota can challenge the Bears for the NFC North top spot.
Well, that's a team we talk about, 49ers who have a lot to prove. Minnesota Vikings have a lot to prove this year.
Absolutely. They were a team that underperformed late, and Kirk Cousins imploded in the final week of the season. That him on the sideline getting yelled at or yelling at the receiver. It was an ugly end of the year for the Minnesota Vikings. You go to Indianapolis for the Colts, which you don't know what the Colts are. A lot of people will tell you they were built to win now if they had Andrew Luck. But you don't know how it all fits together now that you don't know, Jacoby Brissett's going to be the guy.
So that shapes up as a favorable matchup for the Silver and Black.
All right, so that's, if you're 2-2 through 4, I think you're doing cartwheels. You go to London to play the Bears. That's not going to be easy.
Isn't that the beginning of a, there's 14
yes.
weeks in a row before they come back?
Right, so they leave November 15th is their last home game.
It's like a Jennifer Lee Chan road trip.
It's a little bit like it without a stop in Kona. Is what it is, without the free stop in Kona to just, I got to just center myself before I get moving on my NFL travels. So they go to Indianapolis. I'm sorry. They go to Minnesota, go to Indianapolis, go on to London, bye week, go to Green Bay, go to Houston.
Good night, everybody.
Coming home for the lie downs, the Detroit lie downs, coming home for the Chargers, coming home for the Bengals, coming home, or going to the Jets, going to the Chiefs, home for Tennessee. We can go through the whole schedule, but that stretch.
You look up rough stretch in the football dictionary, which I think you co-authored, and that's what you find.
That is, yes, that is, you get the Raiders 2019 schedule is pictured there. I did say I wanted to get a couple of minutes left here before we get to, I saw Rick Tittle. Is Rick solo or has we got our main man, Michael Urbanski here, or Urbanoski? Oh, I love it. Urban's here. Tittle and Urban. They're going to be here from noon until 4 today. I did say I wanted to get a little Giants in, and it had to do with Madison Bumgarner. Do you think that they would re-sign him?
Well, I'm more asking than suggesting. Yeah, why wouldn't they, depending on what kind of offers he ends up receiving? To your point, we've seen last year, Dallas Keuchel was out there on the market till June, right? Mm-hmm. So if Mad Bum can't find anybody who wants to pony up the dough, why wouldn't he take a look at returning if the Giants are willing to make a decent offer?
He's a horse.
Do you think...
He is a horse, Boach.
Does he give the Giants a discount?
Probably not, just because he's like, I've done that.
Yeah, you already got that.
So I think it's unlikely, but I don't think it's out of the question.
Is this the... See, here's the next part. They've proven, the Giants have, they have rewarded people who have done well for them.
That was the old regime.
And that's what the difference is. Is anyone beholden to number 40? If you're going to do it for anyone, this is the one guy you do it for.
The last guy who would be beholden to Mad Bum is going to be gone after this year. That's Boach.
Yeah, that you're absolutely right. Holding on to him might have done him a disservice. And there's the theory floated around that I first heard from Tim Flannery, and that is, if the Giants wanted to keep him, you sit him down and you say, do you want to be a Giant? And if he says, yeah, I'd rather be a Giant, you tell him, here's what we're going to do. We're trading you. Because
the Aroldis Chapman scenario.
Boom. We're trading you. We're going to give you a chance to compete. We're not ready yet. But in the offseason, we're coming after you. Okay? We need to utilize you as an asset.
And when we get you back, we'll be a better club for having parted company.
The other part to that is if they traded him, there's no compensatory pick that gets in the way. It also would allow him to get paid what he's really deserving.
Yeah, it also undercuts your fabulous July.
Yeah, right. So you're looking at a scenario that's going to be really tricky to walk the path with Madison Bumgarner in the offseason. On what he does, they're going to tender him. So now it's going to cost the compensatory. Our team's going to throw money at him.
No.
They showed that they weren't going to do it last year. If they're not... Does he then have to come back? He's not in the... Strasburg's making $38 million. Scherzer's making $37 million a year. Greinke, $34 million. Let me get it up. Clayton Kershaw, $31 million. Is he going to take a penny less than Clayton Kershaw?
Well, I don't think he's going to get it because... I know he pitched great last week, but obviously he's declining, right? Mm-hmm. He's not the pitcher he was. And look at what's going on in baseball. At the risk of overstating, so many teams, why should I pay this guy so much money? I can get an opener.
Exactly.
Yes. I've got all relievers. I don't have to pay anybody to be a starter because I don't have any. So why would I pay this guy all that money? Would I pay it to him because of what he did in 2014? He didn't even do it for my organization.
Interesting the way it's going to play out for the Giants, who finish up the series with the Padres today. A's are tied at nothing with the Yankees in the rubber game of the match for them. That's going on, and Tittle and Urban are on deck, ready to roll. Whitey, great working with you the last 2 days. You're back tomorrow.
Yes, 2 to 6. Back tomorrow.
6 in the morning, for God's sakes, until 10 with Nice Guy Steven. Keep it locked all day long, 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever,
or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.